Matthew 14. I seldom give a title for a message. The Lord has a very practical thought on my heart tonight that should not take me too very long to communicate. I want to preach concerning all of these disciples who are here found in a ship, and the vast majority of them become pitiful boat dwellers. They appear to be stuck. And I'm fearful tonight that in many of our Christian lives, we find ourselves stagnant along the way. And we need to be the kind of people who would really forsake whatever in order to get to Jesus or get a little closer to Him. I'm so thankful that the Lord showed me mercy and saved me. And I don't want to ever lose the glory of that and the amazement of that. I really have been able to draw close to the Lord. I've been shocked that He's allowed that, that He would allow me to get closer and closer to Him. But to be quite honest with you, I'm still not as close as I'd like to be. And there are times when I find myself waning and I have points of separation. I'm afraid I've missed some things in my life, in my Christian life, because I just resigned myself to be a boat dweller and not one who's willing to just get closer and closer to Jesus. Notice our text. I'll begin reading in verse number 22. If you brought a King James Bible with you, you can follow along tonight, and I trust that your Bible will read exactly as I read. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." There's so many times in Peter's life that I would rather have great distance between me and Brother Peter. When I see him there in the garden and he loses that composure, he unsheathes his sword and there he moves quickly to take Malchus's head off. Thank God for Malchus's reflexes. I believe he ducked just in time, and the blade came across and only removed his ear. Peter wasn't acting in a very Christ-like manner there, and the Lord has to end up protecting him and all of the other disciples that would have been immediately destroyed by the soldiers around. And then Jesus heals the ear and places it back on Malchus' head. Beautiful scene, with the exception of this irate Christian disciple. And in those moments, I have no desire to be like him. I see him there close to the crucifixion. And he's faded away now, and he finds himself out around the fires of the world, and he's warming himself there with those who are nowhere close to the things of God. He's in poor company, and even in that moment, he finds himself dropping to such a low ebb that he denies the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a million miles away from Peter when he sinks that low. I want to believe that we could never get there, that we could never be so far away from our Lord that we would deny him. I guess maybe some of the things that I see about Peter that causes me to want to run from him are because I find those tendencies in my own life too many times. And yet here is a high water mark for this great man. Here at this point, I don't feel sorry for Peter at all. Many have read this text and they say, there he goes, he's failing again. I can almost hear the other disciples, oh no. Peter, if you would just not be so compulsive, if you would not be one who would just be moved by your impulses so much, you wouldn't end up making such a scene of yourself. And certainly we all know that, yes, Jesus apparently is walking on water, but you're not Jesus, Peter. And even inside the ship of those who are born again and the disciples, I'm certain they're all now hanging their head and they're a bit ashamed of Peter's movements when he's willing to just go over the rail and hit the water and begin to walk toward Jesus. But I'm not a bit ashamed of Peter here. No, I really feel sorry for those pitiful boat dwellers. I feel sorry for the rest of the crowd in the ship. And in this case, I have found myself far too many times like the rest of those disciples. And Peter now ends up being able to see some things, know some things, enjoy some moments that the other men will never have. Now, we can live in a safe zone as Christians if you want to. You can always comply with all the norms. You can make sure that you do not listen too closely to anybody else in the church or any of the other disciples round about you that may want to pour cold water on your advancing toward Jesus. And there will be plenty that would want to do so. You can live that way and you can still be a disciple and you can still go to the same heaven. But if you do, you're going to miss out on some moments like Peter got to have right here. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have it on my resume that I just had one good step on water. I'd like to have this that I could draw from and tell my children and my grandbabies about what a great and marvelous thing God did for me in a moment. And the other disciples are going to miss it because they find themselves too attached to the ship. And too many times in my life I've wondered what I've really missed in this thing called a Christian walk. Because I was too attached to the ship. I told the First Baptist Church of Conestoga before I stepped aside there after my years as pastor that thanks be to God because of Jesus, I'm not going to have to die with 1,000 regrets. So many people live their lives and they get to that point of dying
and they have to approach it with a thousand regrets. That's not going to be my story. But I will have at least one regret. And that is that I didn't trust God more in my youth. I believe I could have seen greater things. I think I could have walked on some water. I think there could have been moments that would have been just completely unexplainable by the professors at the university where Jesus made a great difference in my life. I believe that because I have had a few moments. I've never walked on water, but I've had a few moments where the Lord has done some unusual things in my life. So I'm wondering tonight, how many stories do you have in your own life? Now, when you go back and from the time you got saved until tonight, sitting here in this beautiful church, how many stories do you have where you ever broke out of the boat? Where Jesus became so big, so real, so wonderful, that at all costs you just had to get to Him. And in those moments, you end up with a wonderful story of how God did something for you and nobody else got to be part of it. However, it's not going to happen for many people, and I understand that. And many times I've missed my moment. And when I do, what causes it? What brings it about that I would somehow miss that moment? And it appears to me that I miss my moment to be able to get out of the ship, out of the boat, out of the mundane up and down of life, moving along, just kind of being part of the crowd. That happens to me, and it will happen to you if I refuse to ask the Lord for permission to get out of the boat. In verse number 28, look at it. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, you're out there, I'm in here, I'd really rather be close to you. Would you please allow me to come to you? That's a very simple request. Wouldn't it be good tonight, if you didn't get anything else out of this message, that it really rings clear by the Holy Ghost of God that we need to spend a little time asking Him to let me get closer to Him. I wonder exactly when the last time was that we got so serious that we became a beggar and we asked Him, may I please get closer to where you are? Go ahead now, let your mind run. When was the last time that it became so serious? I've asked the Lord to please help me in my latter years to not lose that early desire that I had when I'd crawl up in a patch of pine somewhere all by myself, lay on my face, and beg the Lord Jesus to somehow just let me have more of Him. Let me get closer to Him. Let me be what I could be for Him. That desire, out of all the disciples on board, there's only one man. There's only one man that gets close. It's like he's pressing the banister rail. Lord, if that is you, I need you. I want to get close to you. Please. Allow me to come to where you are. Very simple thought, isn't it? We have not because we ask not. I don't know why that I don't ask him more to let me get closer to him. That ought to be a constant prayer for me. Lord, help me to please be able to get closer to you. Seems like the closer I get to him, the better everything gets. Be wonderful if this was like my daily bread. Ask him. Ask him. He'll shock you. The devil's told some of you he doesn't really want me to be any closer to him. He doesn't want me to come out into that water and get closer to him. But the devil's a liar. You'll find out if you ask him, he'll let you get closer and closer. Draw nigh unto me, he said, and I'll draw nigh unto thee. You see, that's exactly what happened out there. Peter starts drawing nigh unto him, gets in trouble doing so, but all of a sudden, he's drawing nigh to Peter. Oh, God, help us. Ask him. Ask him tonight before we leave. Ask him tonight to let you get closer to him. And then many never do get out of the boat because they don't ask, and many never do get out of the boat just because they won't obey. Now it's on. Old Peter, bless his heart. He'll jump out there in some unusual territory. Lord, if that's really you, may I come out there to you? Then all of a sudden the Lord says, come. Uh-oh. I mean, the waves are everywhere. This thing is choppy. It looks dangerous. I've never known anybody to walk on water until I'm witnessing this. What makes me think I can do it? Come. Come. Many never get out of the boat because they never learn to obey. They never learn to obey. I remember when the Lord, when I would beg him in those pine patches, and I'd lay on my face out there by myself, and I'd say, Lord, please, would you please just let me have more of you? Would you just let me be able to get closer to you and to where I could be usable for you? And then there came that time when he said, come on. Well, come on, if that's what you want. Come on. But when he said, come, I had to sell everything I had. I had to quit my job. I had to walk away from everything and everybody I knew except my little wife. And we had to turn nomadic to move to a place where we didn't know anybody. And even my pastor thought I lost my mind. He was against going to Bible college. You'd have thought I was leaving church to go to the bar room. My little pastor, he was an ex-Navy man. Rough! We would go to church and get skinned 3 times a week. Blood and guts. Teeth in the sheetrock. Rough! He gets in front of our home church and he tells them, said, Brother Finney is still saying he's going to run off down there to that Bible college. I've tried to tell him all he needs is this book. He said, now y'all listen to me. Don't you be calling them. Don't you be talking to them. When he repents and gets right with God, he'll come back. You just thought I was really backed up on God going to Bible college. But Jesus said, come.
costed us everything. Everything. I think I know what's running through Peter's mind. What in the name of heaven's going to happen when I bail out of this ship? I'm already hearing the other disciples over here say, he got himself into it again, didn't he? Let's watch this splash. This is going to be a big belly buster. Many times, we're unable to get closer to Jesus because we refuse to obey. If I'm going to get to where he's at, he initiates my directions, and I can't really worry about whether or not that makes sense to everybody else around me. So many times people will never get out of the boat. They'll never be able to be a part of anything extracurricular. They'll never be a part of a ministry. They'll never be able to rise above the norm. They're going to die having been good Christians. They stayed in the boat. But they'll never know what it's like to walk on water because they never asked the Lord and they refused to obey. And thirdly, this is part of the same text. Basically, here is the Achilles heel for every one of us. They refuse to risk whatever it takes to just get closer to Jesus. It's amazing how we're held back by so many things in our mind and in our lives because we're afraid of what this one will think, that one will think, or what this one will say or that one will say. Or maybe we're afraid of the failures of yesterday. Maybe I tried. Maybe I went out there and tried to pastor that church and it beat me up. Maybe I tried to be a soul winner and they made me feel so uncomfortable and I failed miserably. And so we reside in the ship where it's safe. This is a good safe place right here, isn't it? We gather together, all of us have a certain amount of things in common. We certainly have Jesus in common. And in here we're not heckled and laughed at and scoffed and mocked. Pretty easy to come here and enjoy the company of people like you. Amen. But every now and then the Lord, in your life and in mine, he walks right up on us. And when he does so, all of a sudden, like Peter, I get something inside of me that says, "Oh, Lord, right now I'd rather be closer to you than around all my friends in the boat. I'd love that. May I do that?" And then he startles you and he says, "Come on. Come on." Then is when we're going to have to be willing to risk absolutely everything to get closer to Jesus. I guess at the end of the day, how important is it for me to get closer to Jesus? At the end of the day, how large is that in my life? The picture here's a clear one. I believe many times we stay in the boat because of the safety of the boat. Now, when I'm looking at this thing as an outsider viewing into this scene, that boat doesn't appear to be that safe to me. I mean, really, I'm not big at being on the water in high winds and waves. I don't care if it is a Titanic, they go down. However, if you're in the ship and the only thing beyond the ship is to step out on the waves that are crashing into the ship, I'm certain everybody there feels like there's a little more safety here than out there. And that's what happens to us. We take solace in a certain amount of safety inside the ship. And then many times we never get out of the ship because of those that surround us in the ship. We don't really want to upset our brothers and our sisters. We don't want to maybe think we're a little crazy. You know, Peter is viewed as being the nut inside the ship. All looking at him with that wondering eye. Oh, I'm glad I'm not like him. Well, I'm glad I'm a little more dignified than that. He is going to ruin his whole life. And on the story goes. So there are a myriad of reasons as to why we live our lives many times as pitiful boat dwellers. God's speaking to somebody, more than one, in this room tonight. He's wanting you to be more than average. He's walked right up on you, and he didn't ask permission, did he? He's walked right up on you, and he could be walking up on you in the middle of a storm. And when he does that, your heart is, oh, if I could just get closer to him. You have that internal desire because God gave it to you when you got saved. And then all of a sudden now tonight he's calling you. He's saying, come on, come on. Get a little closer. Just get a little closer. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? Let me tell you some benefits. I've already mentioned to you that you might have a lot of people looking at you like, she's a nut. Man, he's as crazy as a bed bug. Have you ever noticed how happy crazy people are? They also get a few little things in this life that boat dwellers don't get. Number one, Peter ended up being part of a miracle. A miracle. I said a miracle. Nobody else is going to be able to go home and talk about being a part of that miracle but Peter. Bible makes it very clear in verse number 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water. One of those modernist preachers said there were rocks under the surface. What a nut. I mean, they're already concerned out there because they can't get to a shoreline, but there's rocks under the surface. There were no rocks under the surface. I don't know. God could have put a fish underneath there that caught him, but I don't believe that either. I believe the Bible says what it says and means what it says. I think that Jesus not only walked on water, but Peter walked on water. Wow! What a privilege to be part of a miracle. To see something and be part of something that you know man could not have done. In fact, think about this. Never said this before. Just hit my head. Peter's now doing exactly what Jesus is doing. Woo! How wonderful.
Right now he's in concert with the Savior. Woo-hoo! Wonderful to walk on water. Now, I don't know if you have any stories. I'm not a Peter. Never been as great a man as he was. But I'm telling you, I have seen some miracles. Am I right, baby? We've seen some miracles, darling. We've seen God do some things that man could not have orchestrated, could never have put together, could never have done. I have them filed away. I rehearse them to my grandbabies. I rehearse them to anybody that wants to take enough time to listen to me. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing. When you pop your eyes open in a moment like that, what's going through this man's mind right now? I'm actually walking on water. The only difference between Peter and me is that by the time I hit that water and I didn't sink, I wouldn't have been walking on water. I'd have been dancing on it. The miracles of God. It'd be a horrible thing. It'd be a horrible thing for us to be in Jesus and never experience any manifested miracles in our life. You've been a part of the miracle of conversion. No man could have done that for you. But oh, it's amazing the things he could do. The times he's bailed me out, the times that he's done things for me and proved himself to me. It's a wonderful thing. And God will do those things for you if you just refuse to be a boat dweller. So for those who are willing to get a little closer to Jesus and step out of the norm in the everyday, I can promise you, you'll end up seeing a few miracles. God's going to do some good things for you. And also in this text, notice if you will in verse number 31, thanks be to God, you'll receive help from the Lord in the times of your failure. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. They may be laughing in the boat. You listen to this. They may be laughing in the boat. But Jesus is moving in Peter's direction. Right at that moment he's saying, let the rest of them ride in the ship. Let the rest of them go with the waves. I'm going to Peter. It's amazing how many times God's run to my rescue. I believe God moves quickly to every Peter's rescue. If you'll trust God, if you just want to get closer to him, not for any self-glory, You just have a desire to love him more, want to be closer to him. He'll have you jumping out of a few boats, and you're going to jump out, and you're going to say, this is wonderful, and in a little bit, all of it's going out from under you. But right when you're getting ready to gurgle, here come that hand. He will help you. You will get to have some stories when you're as old as my hair is. There's a lot of you men in here. I'll tell you, these 3 nights, bless your heart. I've been able to read your mind. You're the most envious person. You want some of this, don't you? Some of you ran off and left you, didn't? All I'm telling you is this. I have failed 1,000 times.
But I've never failed but what he didn't get over there and reach his hand out to me. If you're just wanting to get to Jesus, if you're just wanting to be closer to him, you don't have to worry about getting out of that ship and about all of them laughing back there on board. He's going to help you. And he may let you do some sinking. I've done a lot of sinking. But I'm telling you, I've never yet sunk but what he didn't come to my rescue. And I'm able to sit around when my babies begin to sink. When my friends begin to sink, and I'm able to communicate to them, he's on the way. I'm going to tell you, he doesn't love me a bit more than he loves you. I told one of my grandbabies here just the other week, he doesn't love your pawpaw one bit more than he loves you. He's coming to take care of you. And I know it because of all the times I've been going down, and here comes his hand. The pitiful boat dwellers never got that. They never got it. He gets help in time of failure, and he also gets his prayers answered. He's going down. And while he goes down, he's doing the right thing. He begins to cry out. Ask the Lord for help. In verse number 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, oh, thou little faith. You could have kept walking. But you're learning. And you're a long ways from those who are in the boat. You're a long ways from that crowd. I'm just telling you tonight, remaining in the boat should not be an option. If Jesus is there, I want to turn into a beggar. Let me get there with you. Amen. If there are obstacles, I don't care if it's a boat, banister, rail, whatever it is. Let me get to you. And that ought to be so big that I would exercise that movement and trust him. Trust him. And when I get in trouble, I've cried out many times, Lord, help me. And he's given me answers to my prayers. Isn't that good? Now listen, I don't know what they're asking for over on the ship. I have no earthly idea. But I don't see any of them getting it right now. They're good men. That's all right. But I don't see any of them getting anything miraculous. But Peter is. Answered prayer. But probably one of the most beautiful things is that he receives a touch from the Lord. And all the rest of them just have to watch. They have to be satisfied to watch. But none of the rest of them get touched by the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
The Lord reaches his hand down and grabs Peter. Peter gets the touch of an almighty God.
Amen.
Nothing greater, nothing more wonderful. I'd imagine old Peter can get on his dying day there when they're turning him into a martyr. And I'd imagine he can say, I've had a lot of failures, a lot of things I wish I could have redone. But I want to tell y'all something. Jesus touched me. He actually touched me. And I believe he'll keep touching me. The Lord touches those who are not satisfied to remain pitiful boat dwellers. There are a lot of churches that are represented in this meeting. I'm going to tell you, it would change the climate of our churches and our communities, our homes and our families. If we would tonight find us a little place somewhere and just say, Lord Jesus, here's my request. I just want to be closer to you. I want to be closer to you. And you recognize when you bow here and you ask him for that, he's going to say to some of you, come on, come on. If he doesn't say, come on tonight, bow down in the morning and ask him, may I just get closer to you? Will you just let me get closer to you? And you're going to hear it in a little bit. Come on. Come on. Because he has use for every one of you. Every one of you. You don't have to die having stayed in the status quo. You can be more like Peter. Please stand and through preaching.